Welcome to the Florida Grown Femme Podcast,
where best friends Janet and Sage cover everything from sex to Starbucks.
Grab a coffee and join.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Florida Grown Femmes. I'm Janet.
And I'm Sage.
And we are back with another episode. And Sage, let's just go into it. Let's just jump into it. What is today's question?
Today's question is, are we breaking up? Friend edition.
I love this. This is going to be good. So this episode, obviously the question of the day is, are we breaking up? Friendship edition. And one, I think this has kind of come up. I feel like there's been a theme of like, I've seen stuff like friends fight, like friendship breakups and stuff. Yeah. So I feel like it was something that we should talk about. And as you know, Sage and I are soulmates. If you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to the episode. So Sage and I have been best friends for 15 years or so at this point. We've been there through each other through high school, college, young adult life, and now our 30s, whatever that's considered now. And I just, you know, I thought, you know, people should know what's normal, what's not normal. Like, I think especially when I was younger, definitely like 20 college years and stuff, like I never thought it would be possible to have a friendship ending fight. Like I personally was like, nah, I'm great at friendship. That's never going to fucking happen. Like,
so great at friendship.
Thank you.
You're the most loyal person I have ever met in my life. And I do just want to clarify in this episode, Janet and I are not breaking up. I know the title is, are we breaking up? That's just to catch your attention and to talk about friendship breakups. Janet and I are solid as ever. Okay. So do not worry. Do not be afraid.
Was like Sage's number one concern with like our question of the day. She's like, but what if people think we've been putting them through too much? Like friendship edition, y'all, but not us. We solid.
We good. But we do have other friends. So
we got other friends. This one's for you. Okay. So yeah, Sage and I, like I said, I don't want to be stereotypical or characterize women, but I do think it is a little bit normal that you hear women fight a little bit more. And I think that you hear about, you know, quote unquote cat fights. You know, I generally think it's because women are more expressive and emotive, you know, like, you know, we're able to communicate, which is probably why. But you know, Sage and I, you know, we talked a little bit before this, like, have Sage and I like ever gotten in a big fight? No, I think Sage and I have gotten like frustrated with each other. I think there's a few moments in our friendship where we can look back and we've had times where we knew we were going to need to lean in on this friendship, that it was going to take a little bit more work and stuff. Like, I think that's normal, especially like over time and stuff. I think friendship grows and evolves and it takes work. Like, I do think one thing that people forget and they rely on, like, and you get comfortable with friendships, especially friendship that's been years and years and years and years, you get comfortable and you forget all the work it took in the beginning to become that solid. And so it's just like, you know, marriage and all other relationships, like friendship takes work, but it's normal to have frustrations. It's normal to have kind of like those little tiffs, but what's not normal is like when is it a toxic friendship? But before I go that and stuff, like Sage, what do you think about all that? Do you agree that friends can have tiffs?
I totally think friends can have tiffs. And actually something you said about like friendships being work really, it really made me think about the idea that, you know, friendships are work. Like it takes time out of your day or out of your week to check in on a friend. Hey, I haven't heard from you. Like, are you okay? Are you doing okay? Or to send, you know, even if it's just a funny meme, like that's still like your time that you're investing. And I think some of us or some people, like, it's not that you don't have time to put in the time, but like you maybe have too many people that you should be investing in, you know? And so then it's like, a lot of people are only getting little sprinkles, you know, and instead of like maybe one or two or three people getting like a full, like good investment, you know, because if you think about you know, if you want to get them something for their birthday, if you want to send them like a nice text throughout the week or something, like that is a lot of work, you know? And I personally feel like I'm only capable of having a limited amount of those type of friendships.
Yeah. Cause it's friendships. And again, it's not like a bad thing, but friendships are emotionally draining and they should be in a way. They're life giving, but also that comes with times like, you know, not all life is life giving. And so sometimes you have to be there for your friend and be on that emotional side, because that is what friendship calls on. You know, one, I think, you know, like that is required. Like one, like I have like one rule, like as a friend, like be there for me when I need you, because I will be there for you when you need me. Mm-hmm. So like, that's my only rule. And so like the times that I've gotten hurt are the times where it's like, I let my guard down, said I needed help and they weren't there. And those are the times when I think that sometimes like, and it's later on in life, I think it's like those times where you forget that friendship takes work. Mm-hmm. And something that you said too, it's like, you know, right now in your life, this is the capacity that you can give. And there are people in there's audience members that, you know, when we were 20, 21, like my life revolved around my friends.
Of course.
100%. Like, I think that's why I still love the show Friends. And when they did the reunion episode, the Phoebe actress, she talked about how like Friends represents that time in our life. Yeah. Like they're like our 20s are the times where our friends are our lives. And like those relationships are the most important things in our life. But then you transition and you become into most, and like, not everybody, but that's okay. You transition into developing a partnership with like, you know, a husband or a wife. And that takes a lot of emotional energy. And so that comes from somewhere else. And usually like, you know, I know that I give a lot more energy into my relationship with Patrick than I do with my friendships in some way, because it's a balance act. I can't give everything to my friendships because then Patrick would feel neglected and vice versa and stuff. Yeah, it's a balancing act as you get older. And I thought I was like, I think it's a lot easier when you're younger, you know, not to be ageist or whatever, but like, because that's what you know, like in college and stuff and high school and stuff, like every activity is a group activity. You know, you're hanging out with your friends. It's meant to be that way. And it's a beautiful season. Like, I miss that time where all you had to do was worry about like, oh, what are our Friday night plans? Like that is the best time in life. I will say that. Like, and like the biggest things were like, what are we going to do this weekend?
Like, yeah. You know, that just like, I don't know, two little thoughts popped in my head when you said that. The first one is like, you know, you're right. It's not an age thing. Because some people are single later. I think it really is about, you know, when you're in that single time of life, no matter how young or old you are, you know? And the other thing was, you know, you were talking about friendship being like a give and take, and sometimes it is more. And I think just to not to jump too far ahead, but like when things become a little too toxic, one example of that is when it is giving too much or you are taking too much, because I personally could also be the toxic person, you know, in a friendship. And I think, you know, to remember that, like, you're not your friend's therapist.
Yeah.
That's too much, you know, but you can be there, you know, you can be there for your friend without acting in the role of their therapist.
Yeah. I think that's sense. So good, Sage. So good. Because I think that also we've forgotten that being a good listener doesn't mean being a good, like, what do you say? We don't need to therapize our friends. Mm-hmm. Like most of our, I'm in counseling. I don't need more therapy. Like, you know, like I just need my friends to vent and listen to. And I don't, that's definitely something too, where sometimes like, I know I've gotten into mother mode with my friends. Mm-hmm. I've been the one that takes care of things. And sometimes if you're that friend, if you're that strong friend, the person that people come to advice to, you need to remember that you're just a soundboard. You know, you can't control what people do, and you shouldn't, and that shouldn't be the goal. If you get mad at your friends for not making the choices that you would make, you need to check yourself. You're being the bad friend, not the other way around.
For sure.
Yeah. It's a boundary issue. And so you got to be careful. I do think it's easy again too. Like if you're used to being in a mothering mode, you're used to kind of taking care of people. You feel like you need to take care of your friends, and that's not your job as a friend. Your job as a friend is to support each other and to love each other. And I think that's something, you know, like, you know, Sage and I are our best friends. And I think that's something like that people know that we're solid as friends. And I think a lot of that comes down to like, I know it's not my job to tell Sage what to do. Like, you know, like Sage, like, I think it's gotten to the point, like, like, you tell me what to do.
Stop him for that.
Yeah, like, Sage isn't going to tell me what to do. You kidding me? Like, I react. So, like, yeah. You know, we both reacted. Like, we don't need that. We strong ass bitches. We don't need to be told what to do. Yeah. We already know. All right, now I already thought about it 5 different ways. Like, I don't need that. Like, I already know how to solve this problem. I get so mad when people try to solve problems. Like, you think I don't know? You don't think I didn't come up with like A, B, C, and D and Z? Just fun? Who am I? Like, I'm right. Like, my name is Jana fucking. Anyway. Yeah. So like, I like, that is something to remember and stuff about friendship and stuff, is you got to remember your boundaries. And as times change and stuff, seasons change, just check yourself every once in a while. You gotta make sure that you are being the good friend as well. Yeah. Those boundaries are in place. And again, kind of what you said too, like, the boundaries you have now are not probably the boundaries you had 10 years ago. And they're probably not going to be the same boundaries you have 5 years from now. And I think sometimes that's how friendship fights can happen, is people change. And I think sometimes it's really hard. Like, people know that people change, but you don't think that you can't change with your friends. And I think that's hard for people, like, especially, like, you know, again, in high school, it was mind blowing to me to think that we may not be friends with some of the people we were friends with at that time. Like, we're going to be friends for life, like, forever.
Yeah.
But like, nah, like, I don't, like, I've changed. Like, I don't need, like, I don't enjoy, like, I loved our days of when we went out to ska band stage and like, we would go to live music and I would watch you and like everybody else, like, get out on that mosh pit. And I'd be like, I'm backing up. I'm too little for this. And like, you know, like, I'm like, those are good times, but that's not my scene anymore. And, you know, like, and if I had friends, like, that's all they wanted to do. Like, that's just not who I am anymore. So I do, like, that happens. I think we forget that, like, you know, things change. But something that's popping in my head, Sage, is like, you live international, you know, like, how do you, like, what do you think it takes to stay in friendships? Like, I feel like you probably know better than anybody else what it takes.
Well, I just, one thing about what you just said is that, you know, people do change and that's okay. And I am a firm believer that some friendships are seasonal and you have to just accept that. And living internationally has really taught me that, because sometimes people move. Sometimes people, you know, were in a very, you know, in your day-to-day circle, and then they're not. And, you know, it is harder to keep up with a friendship that's not in your day-to-day or week-to-week or month-to-month, you know, circle of living in your present moment. And I have to be honest and tell you that I took some time this past year to sit down and say, okay, I literally have friends all over the globe, and some of them closer, some of them farther. Like, I need to sit down and think about, what friends am I actually going to invest in? And I chose 3 people, and, you know, I said, okay, these are the people who I'm going to make sure I don't forget their birthday, or, you know, make sure I check in regularly. And I personally couldn't carry more than that.
Yeah.
You know, outside of family, I couldn't carry more relationships than that. Like, over text, over, that's not face to face. But I had to make that boundary for myself to make sure that I'm not just giving a lot of people a little bit. And instead, like, just say, like, hey, no, these are the people that I want to go the distance with. Like, these are the people that I really want to invest in. And that really took a lot of pressure off of me.
That's good.
I do want to say though, okay, Janet, I feel like when it comes to friendships, I feel like it's super awkward to talk about your expectations, like in a marital relationship or something. Like, you have to talk about your expectations, because it's like, you live with them, your day to day, like, you eat together, all these things. So you have to talk about expectations. But with friends, like, it's awkward. Am I, like, you know, do you feel like that, or is it just me?
Yeah, no, it's definitely awkward, because again, like, so I have the reputation of being confrontational, you know, like, I have that reputation. So like, I grew up, like, literally taught to have the hard conversations, the awkward conversations, the taboo conversations. So even though I was raised that way, it is hard. Like, you're not raised to have those conversations with friends necessarily. And like, that is definitely, and it only ever comes up when a boundary is crossed. And like, that is, I feel like there's never necessarily prep work where, like, what you're saying with, like, relationships and stuff, like, you know, dating relationships, you have that conversation usually, but friendship, like there actually isn't a lot of books about that, you know, like no. It is like, I, you know, like how Sage said, like I, this past year, I've also had to do some evaluations on friendships. I've had friends dump me and I've had friends that I've had to dump. And that was, if you honestly, I will tell you right now, 18-year-old Janet would slap the shit out of like current Janet right now. Like that is like, as like what Sage said, like I value friendship above almost every other relationship. Like it is like, I am a loyal friend, like Sage said. And like, even when Sage just said that, like some friendships are seasonal, like intrinsically, I was like, you know, like I, like, even though that's true, I was like, my heart says no, like, you know, like.
It, I know. I saw it in your eyes, but it's true for me. Okay.
No, it is true, period. Like it's true, period. Like that is true. And like a loyal person, like it's hard to break that because loyalty to me is like to the end, like till death do us part. Like, but you know, like that's a little extreme. Like that is some things I've learned that, you know, friendship shouldn't be put on this pedestal and stuff, but it does. Expectations are something that come with everything. They're expectations in all aspects of our life. So it's something that I feel like comes up with friends, and it usually comes up post boundaries. But I think as women, it's something that like, it's a lot easier to talk about over brunch and mimosas, and, you know, and it has come up, like, you know, the, you know, like I said, this past year, it's come up with a couple of friends and stuff where I've had to make these tough decisions and decisions I never thought I would have to make. And, you know, if I can be honest, like friendship fights, like the friendship fights I've had this year are worse than any fucking breakup I've ever had. I'm talking like Alex breakup. Like this has nothing. Like a friendship fight has nothing on a like relationship fight. Because let me tell you, my sisters, like my best friends, especially best friends that like know that next level of you, like they got the skeletons in your fucking closet.
Yeah.
And I think that's something like we have to be careful with our boundaries and stuff, like what Sage is saying, like it's appropriate in different times of our life. It doesn't mean that Sage doesn't have like acquaintances or people she's friendly with, but having three core best friends essentially, or three people that get like a lot of attention is probably appropriate because not everyone deserves to know every single thing about your life.
Right.
That's something that even though someone's a good friend, they're a good listener, that doesn't mean that that's what God is saying is great. You know, like good is not better than great. And you need to have great friends to be able to be vulnerable with. You need to have great friends that you can open with and be like transparent with. And that means that they've shown you how to be great. And maybe it is, you've had these conversations of like, you know, my friends know, like I've said it, like, maybe it's because I've said like, you know, my only expectation of a friend is that you be there for me when I need you. I've had that conversation. And that's, to me, I've done the therapy and the work to be like, this is what I believe a friendship is. Mm-hmm. And I believe a best friend is there for you. Like, and that's a different level. But I think everybody kind of needs to ask that question and then ask themselves, is that realistic? And then look at the friendships that they have. Because some of the times you need to put in more work. Like there's been times these past couple of years where like, thank God Sage has been my friend for years because PTSD has kicked my ass and she's had to put in a little bit harder work than I have. Like she's had to carry the friendship a little bit more. And sometimes that happens and it's okay, but it's not okay forever. And that's where you have to be like, when is this like a season of like, okay, my friend's going through a hard time, to this is toxic. This is toxic. And what are the signs for that, Sage? What do you feel like is a sign of toxic friendship?
Well, I think so I said before where you feel like you're a therapist or they have expectations that you're a therapist. I also think if there is any manipulation or, you know, blackmailing, blindsiding, I mean, all those things that would gaslighting, thank you. Everything that would like red flag you in a relationship, like a romantic relationship, like should red flag you in a friendship.
That's good. That's good.
Emotional abuse, physical abuse, mental, you know, mind games, all of that stuff for me is like just hella toxic, you know?
Hella toxic.
Yeah, hella toxic. And I was just going to ask you, Janet, because like I'm just putting this together now on this episode that you do make friendships for life. And I am more like, I do have that. It is like a realism in me of like knowing that things are seasonal. And how do you like determine if a friendship is for life or if it's seasonal? And how do you like talk about that? Because I feel like for me, most friendships that have been seasonal have just kind of like floated away silently from both people. But I realize that that could hurt people, like you, for example. you know? Yeah. And so what are you like? Yeah, actually, no, here's my actual question. Yeah. Tell me what it feels like from your perspective when friendships just float away as someone who's a for lifer.
Well, one, I just want to address like you talking about that. Like, I just want to bring up, like, do you remember junior year in high school where I said, like, we were at your mom's house in their treehouse? And I told you, we were just, the first time I spent the night, and Micah was still your best friend. And I told you, I was like, after tonight, we're going to be best friends for life. And you looked at me like I was motherfucking crazy. And I was like, I might've gone too far, like, but I was fucking right.
And from then on, I could never get rid of her. Just kidding.
No, no, you know, it's funny. Like, yeah, there's something you just know. It's just like when you know, like, you're like, that's my, like, when I was just thinking, like, love at first sight. It's like, yeah, with like that friendship, it's like, I know she's gonna be my one forever. Like, I didn't know, like, I didn't know that feeling until I saw you. I was like, Sage is it, like, soulmate. And but like, I think about that because, like, with the floating and stuff, it's only recently in this past year where I would say I've lost friends. And so, like, I've had, you know, not to put it out there, I was like, your cousin and I, like, we used to be super best friends, but Amber and I came to the conclusion that, like, mutual conclusion that we were gasoline for each other. We still respect each other, we hang out, like, whenever you guys have family events, we're cool and stuff. But she and I have actually had the conversation that, like, we're not great friends for each other. You know, we're great people, but we're not great friends for each other. And that happened, like, in high school. And like, I had a fight with Savannah, who was on our show, like, Shove Your Thoughts and Prayers. Like, Savannah was one of my go-to with you, like, in college and stuff. She was one of my closest friends, and I fucked up, and our friendship was ruined. And it took, you know, 12 years, you know, to, like, Savannah and I always have respect for each other. We had love for each other, but sometimes, and I didn't know this at 20, you can say things to someone, and even though you didn't have the intention of it being a friendship ending statement, it can be a friendship ending statement. And so sometimes I thought intentions came into play, and intentions matter, but sometimes, like, it's not up to you to decide whether you are a great friend. Like, and that, like, other people have to make the decision whether you are a good friend for them. And sometimes it's hard when you're not. And yeah, so Savannah and I work towards where we are now. Like, we love each other. We can talk to each other. We can text to each other right now. But, you know, we're not best friends like we used to be, and we probably never will be, but it is. And that's okay. I'm happy with I'm praise God for the fact that we made it to this point. But the times I've had this year where some people have floated away, like, it's hurt, you know, it's really, really hurt, because I do think, and that's something for people and stuff too, like, the way that I've chosen friendships and best friends is, yes, Sage, like, you are my only friend that considers friendship seasonal, but like Greg and previously Mary and Sally and like our Nikki and stuff, our friend Nikki, like, those are all people who I've had conversations with in my life and been like, we're ride or dies till the end. Like, this is it. And so I think you do have to have those conversations with people. And if you don't have that conversation with someone, they might float away, and it's doesn't have anything to do with you. And like, it doesn't have anything to do with them. And it goes back to what Sage said, is that some friendships are seasonal, and sometimes seasons are a few years. And I didn't know that, like, sometimes, and that's okay. And so you have to, for me, the people who have ever been floated away with, I'm now at a point where I can look back at those friendship and be like, you know, thank God I had her during that time. Right. You know, thank goodness they were here for me during that time, but it's taken me a long time to get there. And like, when I, like, for me, there's no greater betrayal than a friendship betrayal. Like, there's no greater trauma that could happen to me than a friendship betrayal. And that's not everybody else. Like, you know, like, that's not, and like, that is something where me, I have to, you know, thankfully I'm in counseling, and something that I'm working towards, because friendships shouldn't be the number one priority in your life. That's something that I've learned. You just have to have those boundaries and stuff, but it hurts. And, but I think it's something that it goes back to what you said, like, you have to, as you get, like, you know, no matter what age you are, you have to accept that some friendships are seasonal, and that's okay. And it's not on you. It's not because of you not being a good friend, or you not having the ability to fix something or be good enough for somebody. Like, it's just some people are meant for certain times.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's really interesting that you said that the conversation is what keeps the floating away from happening.
Yeah.
So if we don't have a conversation about our expectations, friendships can just kind of float away. And maybe that's just more of my passive form of conflict, you know, that for me, sometimes it's easier to just allow things to float than to have those hard conversations, you know. That's on me. Cause I don't want to hurt people who are, you know, who believed that the season we had or whatever was like ride or die, you know?
Yeah.
But it is a really interesting, yeah, it's really interesting.
Oh yeah. And to that point too, it's like, there are people in my life that want to be ride or dies, but you don't get to be a ride or die. And it's not like, you know, I appreciate the effort and stuff, but it's also something too, where like, you know, I never thought about friendship needing boundaries. You know, I never thought that before growing. I never once considered that was something that, you know, friendships could go too far or could be tested. Like that wasn't something I ever believed in. And something I just wanted to like, to say to people in case like they're in the middle of a friendship fight or a friendship breakup, or they're not sure if they're in a toxic friendship. The only book, and I'm working through it just because it's one of those books that's like, you know, kind of the therapeutic kind of thing and that it's working for. And for those, it is more faith leaning, but it's called Friendship is Complicated. Mm-hmm. And it's by Andy Andrew. She wrote it during 2021, this past like 6 months or whatever. So it's available, or not 6 months. I'm like, it's now in June, but like, she wrote it within this past year and I'm halfway through it. And it's been very helpful for me to look at like the boundaries that I have in my life, what I've done in my past. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very one of those books where it's personal development. But if you are someone that needs a little, like, you're like, there is no Friendship 101 book, like, no, there isn't. So Andy Andrew just recently wrote this. And so it's good. And like, I will say that, like, as someone who's gone through it, it's a little triggering. So you have to be careful if you're in it, like, be careful. Like she even warns you in the first like few sentences. She's like, if you are hurting, this might not, you might want to wait a little bit because we're going to go through it. But I do want to say there is one resource, you know, that was one book that I like that I felt like she's right. Like, you know, this book is good kind of deal. Yeah. And it points out the good stuff and it's healing and stuff. So wanted to point out that one resource. Sage, I feel like this is like, we're covering so much good stuff in this episode, but something like, you know, I think for those who admire our friendship, maybe let's think about like, what is one like friendship advice, like one like advice that you would give to your audience to have a great best friendship like us? Like what does it take to have a great best friendship?
Well, I think it, in my opinion, it can't just happen overnight. True. And for me, it really is a collection or a building up of a lot of the small things. And the small things, when you show up to the small things with your friends, they're having a bad day, and you're like, oh, that sucks, you know, or whatever. You support them in small ways, then it grows to bigger things. You share, you know, more intimately. And I think it you do need time in a way. You need time. You need to build. At some point, you have to take a risk and trust and share.
You have to take a risk. You do have to take a risk with somebody to have relationships. Relationships are risk.
Yeah, relationship is a risk. But I think that, you know, in a way, friendships follow the same pattern of intimacy as romantic relationships. There's just not the romance. So there's like different styles of intimacy. There's emotional intimacy. There's intellectual intimacy. There's, you know, recreational intimacy. So I think and the more of those that you hit, the more types of intimacy that you hit with your friends, I think the closer you have, possibilities you have, you know? So yes. Janet, we have an intellectual, first of all, we have intellectual intimacy. We love to talk politics. We love to talk theology, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Recreational intimacy, you know, there's things we love to do together. We love to go to the beach. We love to drive, you know, and then a lot of that opens the door for emotional intimacy and sharing, you know, and something that I really value about friendships that have gone the distance is this something in me where I don't have to explain the history, you know, like if I share, you know, with Janet, something about my family, I don't have to explain who's who. I don't have to explain the history of those people. Like she just, she knows the impact. She knows, you know, how that's going to make me feel. And something about that history and not having to explain yourself really, like that just creates such a deep bond in my opinion, between two people. Whereas, you know, maybe I have a friend, somebody I've met in Germany, I've known them for like a year or two. And like, if I tell them something that happened to my family, like they can't get it. They don't know. They haven't, you know, been around, they haven't, they don't know the history. And so, like, yeah, in a way, like, time for me has been vital. To get to know the history and build that trust.
Yeah. That personal time. No, I agree. And specifically what you said with being there in the small moments is just as impactful as the big moments. Like, yeah, it's like, I think about all the times like Sage has been there for me, but I also think about all like the crazy fun times too. It's, you know, that is what I think makes a great friendship is one, the conscious decision that this is going to be a great friendship. I do think that there's a choice. And like, it's a conscious choice to decide to be like, I want to invest in this friendship. And I think that's a choice. And so once you make that choice, you have to go all the way. Being a good friend means exactly what Sage said is that you don't make your friend repeat them twice. You know, like it's one thing to be like, wait, go over this again. But it's another thing to like, I can't stand when I have to tell someone like the story six times, like for them to be like, remember why they say it? Like, remember, like, Sage is right. Like, remember the details. So sometimes it's the small things. It's the little things. It's remembering that your friend likes Starbucks and not like Dunkin'. And you know, it's your friend like Sage likes tea and not coffee, you know, like there's little things. And then there are the big things where you just got to be there for someone. And that requires having the vulnerability to be there, to like, let your guard down and listen and share. And so I think to just echo what Sage said, being a great friend means being there. Like I said, being a friend is you're there for them no matter what. Mm-hmm. And that means being in the little things and the big things.
Yeah. And I, you know, it's so funny when you were saying that, I was thinking like, how do I know if someone has been listening? How do I know if someone is a true friend? And you know who my true friends are? The ones who know the names of the most other important people in my life.
Mm.
So, you know, if I'm telling somebody a story and I'm like, my best friend, they're like, oh, Janet, you know, I'm like, right. I don't have to tell you my best. You already know. Or if I tell a story like, oh yeah, my sister said, and then
they're like,
they're like, was it Mike or Bethany? And I'm just like, okay, you know me, you know, like, you know me like this, that to me is like such a sign of like somebody like of a good friend of mine, that they know the names, they know like, those intimate details. And I value that so much.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, as you were thinking too, it's like, you know, we've been friends for years and we've been international friends. And like, I think honestly, since we started the podcast, our friendship has even gotten even more deeper than deeper than I didn't even realize we could get even closer.
Yeah.
So like, I will say for people too, like, you know, there have been times where I really think about maybe a few years ago and stuff where I'm like, you know, like some things, like just because you don't talk to your friends all the time doesn't mean that you can't work up to that, or also get to a point where you're touching base with your friend too. Like, I feel like Sage and I went from a time where we were touching base with each other, like maybe every few months, and it was like, hey girl, how you doing? What's up? And now I feel like what's every few days, I'm like, what's new? Well, I haven't heard from you. And that just, but it started with like touching base again, saying, hey, how's it going? And going from there, you know, and like, it feels right. And it feels good, you know, like it will feel natural, you know, like I think that's the other thing too. If you come into like a friendship rut and staleness, like that happens, but as long as there's love and you check in with each other, like, you know, it's good. This is a good episode. I think it's turning into one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, I agree. And one more thing, because I want to talk just really quickly from the mom perspective, because as a mom, sometimes I hear moms talking all the time about like needing to find other friends that are moms, mom friends.
Yeah, hurtful,
mom
friends. By the way.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say like that, you know, the quality of friendship is more important than if your friend has kids.
Or in the same stage of life as you.
In the same, you know, stage of life in general, you know, but the quality of that connection is actually more valuable than if you're in the same stage of life. And it is valuable to have friends that are in the same stage of life. Of course, you know, you get to complain about your kids together, you know, or whatever. Right. But like, it doesn't have to be to understand and to like, to connect necessarily. Yeah.
I love that. No, it gives us like permission again. Like, yeah, like friends go through different life stages. We're all not going to be pregnant at the same time, you know, especially women. Yeah. Like that was, you don't sync up like that. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I love that. Okay. This episode's good. And I'm like, this could be a thing. We're like friendship experts. I feel like we could do that.
you are a friendship expert, dude. I'm just here learning. Okay. I'm along for the ride on this episode.
Oh my God. Not even true. Sage is a real one. So this episode, though, one of the things we do like to do, we like to come up with some segments. And so I feel our wrap up segment for today. I love it, Sage. Do you want to lead into our segment?
Yes. Today's segment, I've gone back and forth if we were going to call it Treat Yourself, but I've decided that it's going to be called The Femmes Recommend. Femmes are going to recommend something we've been watching, binging, eating, drinking, consuming in some way, and tell you, like, bro, you need to check this out. This is not an ad.
We're not sponsored. Like, if you feel like sponsoring us, let us know.
Yeah, if you want to sponsor us, we're open for that. But this is just like, we're so hyped about whatever it is we're going to tell you that we just have to share. So it's The Femmes Recommend. Janet, what are you recommending today?
To be honest, the thing I've been most hyped about and the thing that, like, I've craved, you know, like, if anybody knows the show, knows I love pop culture, I love TV, and I love reality. And the greatest summer reality right now is Below Deck Sailing Yacht or Below Deck Super Yacht Australia. Y'all, it is like Florida on crack too. It's great because you get like, oh yeah, you get that Florida deck life where you're like, people, like, you have like the people who are like beach life, I just like the water, I'm working this. And then you have the uber rich people that are like, I paid $500,000 for this weekend, serve me. And it's it is honestly, it's one of the things that Patrick and I have been binge watching. Like, if you have, it's on Bravo for those who have Bravo. Cable. And then if you have, it's on Peacock, the streaming app right now. I was like, that's the other one. I'm like, yeah. So Peacock is definitely worth it. That I would say recommend, highly recommend. Yes, that is the greatest. I feel like that's going to be the summer reality TV series that I recommend. That's my recommendation. Sage, what do you got?
It feels really like summer vibey. I'm here for it. If I had Peacock or Bravo, I'd be on it. Okay.
Honestly, it makes me, every time I watch the sailing yacht episode, I don't know, I think of you specifically for sailboats. Yes. Like, specifically, yes. Sage is a sailboater, not like a, you know, like any other, like sailboat.
I'm not a speedboat, so, like, I'm a sailboat.
Yeah, like, you're not like a yacht. I was like, now that I know the difference between some of these things too, I'm like, you're not like a yacht. Like, she's a sailboat. She's classy as fuck and she's rich. It's expensive to maintain. But better than the other.
I'm here for it. Yeah. I've been trying to get my dad to teach me to sail for years. Hint, hint, dad, I'm ready. Finally, I'm 30 something years old. I'm finally ready. Okay. So again, the last time we did this was so long ago and my recommendation was super nerdy and I'm back again.
Yes. Love it.
With the nerdy community. I am currently obsessed with an app I found called Stardust. And it is a period tracking app.
Oh my God.
And it is so accurate. It is so accurate for your hormones and stuff that I'm just like dying. It sends me a text every day and I'm like, or like a notification every day. And it's just so accurate and it's so cute. And there's these like little emojis floating around and stuff. And like, it tracks your period according to like the moon. And it's just, I don't know. It's
Stardust.
It's called Stardust. It's free. I have no idea why this app is free. It is beautiful. I would have paid 99 cents for it, but it's free. So if you're looking for a new period app tracker, you're gonna have to go get it.
I love it. Love it.
Stardust. Yeah, that's my, I was gonna, yeah. Anyways, I was gonna
recommend Below Deck and Stardust. Like, that's Stardust, where we're at.
Yeah. Go get it and write them a good review because it's amazing.
Speaking of reviews, that is wrapping up our episode. So if you love this episode, be sure to leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Your review gets our podcast in front of new eyes, so it means a lot to us. And also if you not only like us, please share it to your stories and tag us so people know about this podcast, and or feel free to send us a DM or comment on our page. We love hearing from you guys. You guys are an amazing community. This has been, oh my God, Sage, I just love this episode. Like, we just had this was fun. Yeah.
This was a lot. This was really nice, honestly. It was so nice just to talk about friendship.
Yeah, friendship's fun. Yeah, we're friendship experts now. All right. Well, if you enjoyed this episode of Florida Grown Femmes, like we said, please like, review, share, all of the above, subscribe to our channels. It means the world to us. But until next time, see you.
Bye-bye.